Alrighty, this morning we want to continue talking about keys without locks. And, you know, we have seen it a couple of things that are seemingly at face value might seem to be keys, but they unlock nothing, at least they unlock nothing good. And we have based this series of messages on keys without locks on the account, the narrative found in John chapter 5. We won't turn there. I'll just allude to it. And that is when, you know, there was an angel that came down from heaven and went down to a pool that where all these sick people lay. And I don't mean just minor sickness or some kind of hangnail. I don't mean they were like terribly and desperately sick. They were blind. They were lame. They were paralyzed. And this was kind of like an interesting thing. It was kind of like the Powerball lottery, but it was not for money. It was for health. It was kind of like a gimmick, really. How many of you like gimmicks? I hope you don't. You know, but this was like the first recorded gimmick in the Bible. And, you know, the first sick person to get to the pool and jump in would be the first one, would be the only one that day to become whole of their sickness. They would be completely healed of their sickness. Now, that sounds good at face value until you start thinking about the people, the sick people that were around that place. The blind can't make their way to the pool. They can't see. They got to grope around. The lame can't walk. And the paralyzed, well, they can hardly move, if at all. So who's going to make it to the pool? The people with lesser sickness, the people that can run to the pool, the people that maybe that have a sore shoulder, a toothache, a mild headache. We can go on down the list, a hangnail. Those are the ones that are going to make it to the pool, right? So I've said that, you know, week in and week out, that narrative is a judgment against religion that offers nothing to those who really need it and offers everything to those who don't need much. Amen? And so we see that. And we talk about several things. And this morning, church family, I want to talk about a key that the enemy would love to tempt us with for us to reach for that key, especially when life gets crazy and things happen in our lives that, A, we believe were not supposed to happen. How many am I connecting with anybody? Amen. How many of you have had things happen in your life that you said to yourself, in yourself, this should not be happening in my life? It is unfair. It is unjust. It is unprovoked. I did nothing wrong to merit, to deserve the crud. I was going to say crab, but, you know, when it hits the fan, it all flies around, right? It all flies around and splatters all over the place. And you're like, what in the world? Or when something happened that was genuinely tragic and without any logical answers to it. What about a premature death? You know, I was reading here that there was this, it was a high school football coach, well known, that was on life support, and they're going to take him off life support. And people are just like, why? He was so young. He had a future ahead of him. He was a good guy. Do any of you ever ask yourself, Lord, why do the good people suffer so much? They're good people. They're productive people. They're loving. They stand up for Jesus. Why do they suffer so much? Why do they go through such hell? And yet you see the evil people prosper and flourish, or it seems that way. See, and church family, listen, there are in this life going to be many, many instances where you and I come to the crossroads of, do I keep going with Christ, or am I going to allow this incident that happened in my life, or it happened in one of my loved ones' life, am I going to let that become a stumbling block for me, and am I going to get mad at God, and I'm going to say, well, forget the church and forget God, because I'm done. Can we go down that road this morning? You know, my family, all of us will come to points like that. You get that job, your dream job, you get it, only to find out that you're not qualified enough, and then they let you go. You said you would never fall in love again with somebody, and you meet this wonderful person, and ladies, he ends up being a narcissist. And I have found that there are narcissistic women too. Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies, you just nod, okay? You just keep listening. It's going to get good. Tap your neighbor, rib them, and tell them, it's still going to get good. Nobody did that. Okay. Well, great. You rebellious bunch of people. So it's all good. Now, listen, it happens, church family, where, you know, I remember, I'll tell you, the hardest thing I've had to do as a pastor, there are a lot of hard things you do, man. But the hardest thing I've ever had to do as a pastor, and I've done it twice, and I hope I don't never do it again, is going to a mother and father's house and notifying them with the sheriff with you that their son or their daughter has been killed in a car accident. That I wish on nobody. There have been some tough times in ministry. I'll tell you that. You know, I've seen worship wars, but nothing touches having to notify a parent that their child was taken prematurely. And how many of us know there are no answers for those situations on this side of heaven? Amen? You know, I think of all that. I think of, you know, the time when I was I was 19 years old. I was 20 years old. Mom had asked me to go pray for my grandmother. My grandmother was a saint. She was, if you thought my mom, I put my mom through hell, but shoot. My grandmother was an amazing woman, very godly woman. Lived in poverty, but she made ends meet, and she was such an amazing woman. She had cancer in her throat. My mom asked me to go pray for her. And, you know, we were in Juarez. We went from El Paso, Texas to Juarez, crossed the bridge, went to the hospital, and I prayed for my grandmother. She was having a good day that day, only to find out that 3 days later she died, you know, unexpectedly. The doctors had given her a hope that she might recover, but she didn't. And that was rough. There were no answers for those situations. Or what about when, you know, something you expected, how one young lady once told me, she said, I remember she was in my office, this is back in Effingham, and she was telling me about this guy she had met. She was a very pretty girl, but she was also single, and she had gone through a lot of broken relationships in her past, and she finally met a guy. She said, oh, he's godly, Pastor Joe, he's amazing. He's good to me. He treats me like, you know, like a lady and such and such and such. So a couple of months go by, and then I see her again in church. And, hey, how are you doing? And how's this man in your life? I had to get a restraining order on him. Oh. You like this, don't you, buddy? See, so there was a promise of something good happening to her, finally. But then it falls through. How many of us know, church family, let me get to the core of the message. How many of us know that there are no answers sometimes? There are practical answers. You know, like people use this phrase at times that everything happens for a reason. Yeah. It does, but sometimes the reason something happened is because you're stupid and you made very dumb decisions. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on fate. Don't blame it on your mama. Or your Aunt Minnie, or Brother Doodad, look in the mirror. Sometimes bad things happen because you, Bubba, made a bad decision. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. How many of y'all would say it's good teaching? How many of you like having fun at church? Amen. Thanks, buddy. Amen. You keep coming, brother. All right. So, you know, church family, all these things happen and there's no logical reason. And I want us to look at the scripture. You know, I have felt in the last couple of weeks the Lord convicting me that he wants me to communicate more scripture to you and have you look at it. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29, please. Yes, let's go to Psalm first. Thank you. See, I got so carried away. Thank you, Miss Connie. God bless you. We're just going to look at three scriptures back to back to back. Let's start with Psalm 139. Thank you, Miss Connie. Psalm 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Notice what the psalmist is saying here, that God's knowledge is too wonderful for him to understand. That's implied. How many of you would agree with me this morning that God's wisdom is infinite, and we in our pea brains that only use 10% of our brain capacity cannot begin to even touch the infinite wisdom of God? Amen? Can we accept that in our life, church family, that we will not understand all there is to God and God's ways, even though sometimes it seems like what's happened to us was a cruel joke? You know, it seems like a cruel joke, and yet we have to somehow allow the possibility that, listen carefully, this is a good point, God knows something about this that I don't know right now, and that I might not know until I get to heaven. Are we okay with that, church family? We have to be. We have no choice, right, Connie? We have to accept that God's knowledge and his wisdom is too infinite for us. You know, and as I alluded, we humans only use 10% of our brain capacity. Do you realize that the average intelligent quotient, IQ, is 100? Albert Einstein used 100, and he tested 162 on the Mensa, M-E-N-S-A test that tests your intelligent quotient. He was 162. The average person's brain is 100. Scientists say that Albert Einstein, who gave us a general theory of relativity, or the theory of general relativity, that he used 20% of his brain capacity. Wow. Very smart. I used to have a hospice patient several months ago that did something awful. She would smoke with her oxygen on. Oh. I know. And then she had the gall to tell me that her IQ was 172. Oh. I knew there was something wrong when she didn't say, I have an intelligence quotient. She said, I have an intelligent quota. I was like, no, it's not quota. It's quotient. And that she was 172, I thought, baby, you're deluded. You don't have enough sense to turn off the oxygen. You're going to blow this place to smithereens. But listen to me, church family. We cannot embrace God's ways fully. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29, please. Deuteronomy 29. The last verse of the chapter of Deuteronomy 29, it also happens to be a 29 verse. Deuteronomy 29, 29, one of my favorite verses. The secret things belong to whom? The Lord our God. What kind of things belong to the Lord our God? Secret. If it's a secret, can I find out about it? No, because they belong to whom? God. But notice, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children for how long? Forever, that we may do all the words of this law. But notice, if only the revealed things belong to us forever, you know what this verse hints at? That there are secret things of the Lord that we will never, ever know? That's what it says. That's right. Known only to him. That's right. So, church family, can we, in our hearts this morning, accept that reality graciously and say, Lord, you are God. You know something about this that I don't know and I may never know. Are we okay with that? Because, my family, if Jesus met you in heaven and gave you an explanation, how many of us know that's not going to satisfy us? An answer will not satisfy us. And let me tell you what God does give us. He gives us himself. He doesn't give us an answer. He gives us himself, because in himself is healing. In himself is love. In himself is contentment. Come on, somebody. In himself is all our longings, all our desires are all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And you know, I have a feeling that when I stand before the Lord and I have all these questions that have plagued me throughout my life, and I've predetermined that I'm going to ask him, that one look into Jesus' face will dispel all those questions. Amen. You know, some moms have lost children. And, you know, I know my daughter, I'll call her later, she has a child waiting for her in heaven. I know my fiance has a child waiting for her in heaven. You know, there's a story in the Gospels that one time when I read it, and every time I read it, it just brings tears to my eyes. It really does. So I'll try to get through this in a professional manner. But there was a widow who lost all she had. She lost her husband. He was dead. She was a widow. And had one son, only one son. And he died. Can you imagine? Her world is shattered. And her source of income, though that's secondary to the child passing. And there was a funeral procession for this young man. And Jesus stops the funeral procession. It was, the Bible says, it was outside of the city gate. They were going to go bury him. And Jesus stops it, and he raises that son up from the dead. And the next part is what gets me every time. Jesus took this freshly risen from the dead son, and he presents him to her mother. And you know what I believe, moms? I believe that Jesus will be waiting for you at the gates of heaven. And if you lost a son or a daughter, if they went to heaven before you, he'll wait for you at the gates of heaven to present you your son or daughter. Isn't that good? Isn't he a great Savior? Don't you just love him? Amen. One last scripture and we are done. So far, so good. Was this a good message?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep this kid. I'm telling you. Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. It's good when the young people get something out of the message. Come on, church.
Yep.
Amen? Amen? Yeah. That's right. All right. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Notice, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How, what's the next word? What's the next word? Unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are what? Past finding out. Can we find out all of God's ways? No. And church family, are we okay that we can't? Are we okay? Can this morning, can we say, Lord, I will love you and I will love your ways, though I do not understand your ways all the time. Can we say that? Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Give me the grace to love your ways with all my heart as well, even though I don't understand them. Can we say that? All righty. How many of you were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap, shall we? God is good. Listen, that's a key without a lock. Don't try to figure it out. It's not for us, meant for us to figure out.